hour number two on a Football Friday. Let's talk to our good friend from Husker Online Rivals, Brian Munson. Good Friday morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Love that intro music. Yeah. I got really had to hear a lot of Drake on all the on the football camp tour, so that's a familiar tune for me.
Hey, is this weekend the Texas High School State Finals?
Yes, it is. So we've been paying attention as best we can. Obviously, so my son's former high school got knocked out the week before, and then his head coach went to Denton Guyer. They got knocked out the same week. And the other high school that's adjacent to us, the big rival, the crosstown rival, they got knocked out the week after. So we have been kind of paying attention to it now still. We kind of lost some interest in it. But, it's going to be the father-son matchup, right? Because you have the Dodges, right?
Oh, okay.
You got South Lake Carroll versus the other high school down in Austin. So you got father down there in Austin now playing against son, who was at his dad's old high school when he was running it, like with Chase Daniel. So it's been a huge storyline down here. So we're Lake Travis. So Lake Travis in Austin and in South Lake Carroll here. So that's the big 6A D1 matchup this weekend. So, but unfortunately, I'm taking my son back up to Kearney. We're leaving actually in about 4 hours, heading north to the motherland this afternoon. So I want to be in place to watch the Buffalo Bills tomorrow night comfortably.
Hey, well, make sure that you guys, pack some shorts and some sunscreen. It's beautiful, beautiful up here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard when I talked to Isaac Zaitsev's mom a little bit last night. Yeah, I heard that the weather was moving in on you guys.
All right, there's a lot in there, so let's first start. First of all, good luck to tomorrow night to your Bills. I hope that my Chiefs hold up the end of the bargain, then maybe we can see each other next week.
Deal.
Before we dive into a busy week for Nebraska football, I want you to you have no connection to Alabama, but you have to recruit against Alabama. And I tell you that, whew, you're lucky. Look at all the guys that yesterday committed for the draft. They're going to lose a lot of talent. And then I tell you that next year on Alabama's 2021 roster, they will have 70 players that when they came out of high school were at least in the top 100, 200, or 300 on recruiting lists. How are people supposed to recruit against that or make up ground on the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Clemsons, and even the Texas school, the University of Texas, that has those kind of astonishing numbers?
Well, you got to look for the guys that want immediate playing time. I mean, so I only back up a little bit. I think the things that you just rattled off there are friggin' amazing. I mean, it's a dynamo. Saban has done it again. I mean, look who he's bringing in to be his offensive coordinator, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's just unbelievable what that guy does in Tuscaloosa. So the way I personally would go ahead and angle myself against that is, yeah, you know what? You're a top, or you're a Rivals 250 guy, or you're a Rivals 150 guy. And you're at the top of my board. But, on the Alabama board, I think we go ahead and shoot some holes in it and say, you're probably not quite at the top of their board. And let me tell you about my depth chart. Let me tell you about who's not going to be in front of you in my depth chart and how you're going to go there and sit behind those top 100, 200, 300 guys that are there, that are already entrenched, that have already been in the program for 2 years, for a year, for whatever. And I can go ahead and sell this idea of immediate playing time. I mean, this is a thing where I can get you to come in and turn the ship around. Now, the problem is, and this is where I think it always kind of comes, where the rubber always hits the road, it comes down to consistency in the program. And I think those kids, while they're looking for the earlier playing time, I think the easiest substitution that they can make is when it comes down to that consistency. Will I be in the college football playoff? Do I have a greater chance of playing in the national championship? If I go here, can I get basically a pass, to the NFL? Mm-hmm. That's where you have to blaze your own trail as a school like Nebraska is going to have to start to figure out when it comes to getting a couple of those guys in and then selling those success stories back. Nebraska never truly capitalized on Ndamukong Suh. Let's
Correct.
Be totally and completely honest. That thing right there should have been something that should have been revisited year after year after year after year. And it's something that they could have sold each year. Heck, Lavonte David, still go sell that thing right there, right now. He's even though he's not, you know, as recognized as some of the other linebackers in the league, I think you and I, when we watch games on Sunday, we would all agree, regardless of our rose-colored glasses, that he is one of the best in the business. So I think that there are still things to sell for Nebraska. I think that you have to continue to sell them. And then you go sell the facility upgrades and say, we're not them now, but that's the model, and we're going to get there, and you can be the guy that helps us get us there.
How much of a factor in the recruiting these days, and there's only really a handful of schools that can sell this, is, hey, you come to our place, you're going to play in the playoff. How much of that is a deciding factor, you think, nowadays?
It's pretty significant, right? I mean, it comes down to four teams, and I think that rotation of four teams that are getting in there, it's a pretty small group that have made it consistently year after year. If you're Clemson, if you're Alabama, if you're Ohio State, if you're Notre Dame, those teams typically are the ones that make it in there. The Oregons of the world too. You throw them in, LSU. There's less than 10 teams, I think, that have made it into that top four, you know, each of the last years combined, or whatever the years were. So I think that's a huge selling point to say consistently, we're going to get here. And part of the reason why is because we have that talent. Part of the reason why is we're coming out of the greatest conference and we're preparing ourselves. And if we do lose a game, we're going to look better than some of the other teams do when they lose a game in their own conference. So I think that there's a lot of selling points when it comes to that, obviously, that you're going to be playing somewhere, you know, January 1st and beyond.
Brian Munson joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. All right, let's talk about the headline story. You know, it's the life of a Husker fan. We're covering this program this week. You have additions, subtractions. You have, okay, what's next when it comes to what do you do with a recently departed analyst that could morph into a full-time position on your staff? But let's start with Wandale Robinson. You know his comments. You followed his recruiting, how much of a big deal it was to flip him from Kentucky. He comes to Nebraska. You know, he's announced today he's going home. So it's essentially like Scott Frost. Scott Frost, you know, after a couple of years, came home to Nebraska. Yep. But there was the comment made to Adam Rittenberg about the offense and the way that he was used. How will that be used against Nebraska?
Well, I think that, you know, Nebraska still has that duck R position. And I think that there were some unfortunate situations, particularly when it came to lack of depth at the running back position, untimely injuries, you know, when it comes to the running back spot. And I think that when you hear Wandale mention that, and some of the things that I have heard about the gripes, you know, about the offense, even before he left Nebraska, was too much time at the running back spot, too much time truly at the running back spot, need to find other ways to get the football into his hand consistently, but not via the handoff. I think that that's kind of, I think it kind of just is what it is. I mean, obviously, Nebraska was able to kind of roll with the punches, right? They lose Wandale 1 minute, they pick up the wide receiver from Montana the next day. And obviously, I think that he had bigger things in his eyes when it came to what that offense meant to him as a true wide receiver. But when it came to being that kind of slash guy that could do either or, maybe then you're going to spend a little bit too much time in the offensive backfield and not doing those things that I think we would all agree Wandale has to be prepared for if or when, you know, he's going to have a chance to go play professionally. So if that's the thing that's going to happen, it's not going to be with him really playing in the backfield like a Darren Sproles. It's going to be him doing something out there in the slot, in space, you know, as a wide receiver slash guy.
Wouldn't that have been a conversation? I mean, knowing, hey, we're a little hamstrung here. You want to win. We think this is the best option to win. We don't see you as a full-time running back, but we got to have you here in this game. Doesn't that seem more logical? I mean, because I don't think anybody saw him as a full-time running back. They just need to establish that position. I don't know. As I've mentioned all week, Brian, some things didn't add up on both sides. And I just, you know, you got schools that recruit against Nebraska are going to use some of his quotes with not a lot of context on how people saw how he was used or whatever discussion went on behind closed doors, that all of a sudden that's going to be, well, don't go to Nebraska because they're going to limit your opportunity to get the NFL. But yet on the same day, you had an FCS wide receiver who picked Nebraska because he's an NFL prospect and he thinks all he probably needs is that 1 year bump playing at Nebraska that will get him to the NFL.
Yeah, and like I said, those are wildly different scenarios. I mean, all you got to do is just look at those guys on paper and understand that that's not the same guy. But at the same time, Wandale, as a slot guy, has this rare ability, or had this rare ability, I don't know how you want to do it post tense or whatever, but had this ability to do a variety of things for you, whether it was in the return game or it was, you know, the ability to put him back at the running back position or just flat out decoy him. The amount of attention that he commanded from a defense is really what kind of sets him apart, just because of he could have been lining up at any one spot at any time or motioning to another, and you have to respect where he is at on the football field at all times. You can do that with an outside flanker, mm-hmm. but typically an outside flanker is where that outside flanker is, and you're not going to see that X or Z go in motion as much as that slot guy.
Well, and now he's put it on himself at Kentucky, whether they adapt the offense to him, that it's NFL or bust right now for Wandale Robinson.
And I said that before on the website too. Let me cut in real quick. If there's the thought that he's going to a much better system and much better offense there at Kentucky, all you have to do is look at the numbers. Yep. All you have to do is look at the numbers and understand that's not going to be the case either. So if there is more of an angle of truly the offense versus I'm going home, like what the Twitter post states or sells, then, you know, go ahead and be the judge of it yourself. But that offense isn't what it's cracked up to be or what people are trying to sell to him either.
As you know, when you mention the name Zadiska around here, people go, oh, I know Rob or John. And actually, before I ever met both of them, I got to know their dad, who was in charge of housing at Nebraska when I was in school there. But John's son, Isaac, has been a 3-year starter for Elkhorn South on an offensive line that, you know, Matt Hoskinson's son plays on that line. Danny Noonan's son plays on the line of scrimmage for Elkhorn South. Teddy Prochaska is a Nebraska scholarship guy in this current class. But Isaac Zadiska for 3 years has been a staple of that offensive line. And technique savvy, he's gotten bigger. He's gotten better at his craft. He's morphed himself into a true center who can long snap as well. And probably last year, the offseason hurt him in terms of being able to get in front of more schools. And we saw the PWO start to pop up from Power 5 programs that wanted Isaac Zadiska. Last night, finally, Nebraska offered a PWO. Now, I think it was significant that it was Greg Austin, because Kenny Wilhite is in charge of in-state recruiting, and a lot of the PWOs come from Kenny. This one came from the guy that is the offensive line coach in Greg Austin. Maybe that has a little bit to do with Isaac is a legacy. I don't want to say, wow, what took you so long because he finally got one. I don't think it guarantees that he'll say yes to Nebraska. But are there some things, as you mentioned a discussion with the family earlier, is there some things that maybe he says yes and maybe we could be talking about a blue shirt as well? Where does it stand right now?
So, yeah, and don't forget on the Elkhorn South line that they have an offensive tackle that's going out to the University of Nebraska. Carney is going to be teammates with my son, and he's a fantastic player as well. So that line was absolutely loaded. But Isaac, you know, in talking to Sarah, his mom, you know, it's been one of those things where Nebraska has been continually evaluating their class and where they're going to be at, because he was probably going to be that next guy in line, depending on wherever they were going to be at in their class, to maybe potentially get a scholarship. So there was evaluation, and that says a lot about where Nebraska had them on the board, because they were, you know, before December, before the early signing date, it was, hey, you know, we're not going to offer you this preferred walk-on because, number one, we know that you got your other scholarship offers. You can go somewhere and get your school paid for, so that's fine. And we're doing our best to go back and reevaluate things that are happening in our space to see if we can go ahead and get you in as part of this class. So fast forward then to now, Nebraska offers that walk-on. I go back and get some more information here a little bit. So Nebraska obviously, I think they're going to hit that 25 mark, right? Number one. And it's not going to include Isaac as part of the scholarship class. But Isaac is in a tremendous spot to do something very similar to Ty Hahn, where you can do something like a gray shirt, blue shirt, whatever, go in, pay your own first year or pay your second year and get on a scholarship after that, because they really kind of see him as a guy that can come up underneath Juergens and really kind of learn the spot, learn the offense, get into the mix very quickly into the two deep as a backup center. And if that's the case, then I think that that kind of sells itself. However, there are some complications here.
Okay.
Kansas State's been doing a heck of a job recruiting him, number one. And number two, Missouri is also doing a heck of a job. And he's got a sister that's actually committed to Missouri to play volleyball. So you've got that now, family connection going back to Columbia. And this is gonna be Isaac's decision. Obviously, mom and dad went to UNL. And that is obviously going to be play a role in this, but this is going to be his decision and what he decides he's going to do. So I think that the Nebraska timing here isn't bad. It isn't off. And you got to realize, too, even though Greg Austin made the offer, they had been talking to Scott Frost before that. So Nebraska's been very, very serious about their interest in Isaac.
Well, he's a very likable kid. He is great in the classroom. He works his butt off. I think he's gotten better at his craft. I mean, he's got great DNA, as you mentioned. Do you think, and when we talk about this at certain positions, and we do across the offensive line, put yourself in the role of a talent evaluator that's got to pull the trigger on a scholarship offer. How strong do you stick to the measurables? Because if you're looking at, for example, him as a center at Nebraska or somewhere else along that offensive line, he probably doesn't meet the measurable of guys that you have recruited in the past. How strong is that stance? I mean, how many times do you think schools, including Nebraska, will deviate a little bit from what they have in mind of, hey, we want our tackles to be 6'6", 290? How does that factor in?
Well, as an inside guy, which I think is where you would look at Isaac, I think actually he's very full for the size that you're looking for there. I mean, he's a legit 6'5", maybe 6'5.5" guy. He's put on some size. I mean, even from when my son and I saw him on an unofficial visit at the Illinois game 2 years ago, the kid looks bigger now than what he did when we originally met him before. So I would go ahead and say that first. I think that his weight's 270, 280-ish, maybe north of that. I mean, he is a good-sized interior guy that knows how to play the position of center, and I think that that's critical. I think it's critical that you have a guy that has that experience and plays that position as opposed to training a guy to play the center position in college. I think that, you know, Nebraska hasn't really recruited a lot of true centers over the past 20 years. I can name only a handful of them. So Isaac is one of those real true guys, I think, that has that ability to play that position as well as other positions along the line. And I think honestly, when you look at Hoskinson and you look at other guys that really are from the state that are in that walk-on, a lot of the reasons why they're overlooked in the first place is because they don't really check the box when it comes to size. But where they do get you is that they'll go on there and they'll put the effort in, and there's, you know, measuring the size of the fight and the dog and measuring the size of the dog and the fight. Those are two different things. And I think that plays a lot into this right here, because there's a lot of things going Isaac's way that I think, though, however, still don't go a lot of the typical walk-on's way. I think he does have prototypical size when it comes to playing D1 college football.
Well, I think whoever gets the opportunity to coach him in his college career, they will be very grateful that he chose their school. I'm a big fan of Isaac. I think he will. I think he will be up and above what people think he will do in college. He's got a great motor, and he's been coached really well over the last couple of years. So now we make the move. We're in the middle of January, and before you know it, that Wednesday in February will be here, and Nebraska's down to a couple of spots. I think we're not crazy to think that it's looking better for Avante Dickerson in Nebraska right now, correct? He has a lot of familiarity with Nebraska. I know Oregon, immediately after he didn't pull the trigger on Minnesota, they wanted to get involved, but he's not flying out to Eugene anytime soon. So with that said, where do you think Nebraska goes for that last spot?
Well, I think we're kind of seeing it a little bit. I think that Nebraska is still spending a lot of time with their, you know, their faces and their noses in the portal, trying to find guys that can help. I think that they're still looking there at a couple of different positions potentially where they can maybe find a guy. I know that the window here is kind of rapidly closing, you know, when it feels like they can get a guy in there for the spring. You know, I think honestly, you know, if you start talking about Avante, and you start maybe looking out, you know, for anybody else that can kind of find their way into the class, I think there's maybe, you know, the wide receiver from Hawaii that I think that obviously I think he's a take, the Atamalalala, and I think that you got the defensive tackle that's also from Hawaii, from Sotelo, that I don't know necessarily if he is a take or not. So there's a couple spots outside of Dickerson, you know, and then maybe again, we'll still find some other way or something else that comes up here that puts them over into the 25 number based on another transfer that they can go ahead and get in.
Hey, I want to also quickly get your thoughts, your impressions of Torrey and Step joining Nebraska this week.
Yeah, huge. So, I think Torrey loved his film. Loved how he's able to locate the football and how great of an athlete he was. I think that's really good competition. I think that those are the Grizzlies, right? And I think that they are, that's part of one of those more successful programs that's out there, that people don't know about. And so he went to a really, really good FCS school and now going to get his chance at the D1 level. I think this is a guy that's coming to Nebraska with all the right things in mind where it comes to him trying to get ready for the NFL. So I'm interested to see what kind of happens with that, what kind of impact he could have on the rest of that really kind of young group that has to step up and kind of take a step forward, maybe what it means to like an Omar Manning. Steph to me is really, really interesting because there was a lot of comments as soon as he committed when Sean had mentioned that he was a guy that Nebraska was really interested in and looked good for Nebraska. I went out and kind of tried to find some opinions of particularly like the USC writers, you know, and what they thought about Step. And there were a lot of people that were kind of missed or didn't understand why Step wasn't playing more. That when they watched practices or they watched games or they watched the scrimmage, he looked like the more talented running back, you know, out of the group. But Carr was in front of him and there was another guy that was in front of him for some reason. But he just couldn't really ever kind of find a way to kind of like catch a break or kind of gain any traction there. So I think Nebraska is really stealing one and bringing him a little bit closer back home to himself.
Well, interesting week. I'm sure that it'll carry now that guys are returning to campus. It'll carry on into next week. And I mean, that's the life right now of Nebraska football.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah. Hey, safe travels up here, bringing your son back to Kearney. And again, good luck to your Bills tomorrow night.
I appreciate that. I'll talk to you next week.
That's Brian Munson from Husker Online, who joins us every Friday. You can join him by following him on Twitter, where you can find his handiwork at Rivals Brian. Again, if you're just tuning in, Wandale Robinson is going to Kentucky. So closer to home, he's 30 minutes from home. People at Purdue are disappointed. I mean, Purdue put on a full-court press the late moment. That would have rustled some Jimmy's around here. He would have stayed in the Big Ten, gone to a different school. We'll get Brian Christopherson's thoughts on the week that has unfolded for Nebraska and what is next on and off the field. BC is still to come in this hour. The Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.